Good morning, church family. I will be reading Luke 4, verses 16 to 30. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord." Verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious word which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Even we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows are in Israel and in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up for 3.5 years, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zophorah in the region of Sidon, to the woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel and in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was clean except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Some of us have witnessed dramatic and traumatic rescue. We can look back in 1987. I don't know if you remember baby Jessica. Did anybody remember back there? Baby Jessica fell 20 feet through this. It's an 8-inch hole in her aunt's yard all the way down here. And she was there for... how many hours? She was there for 58 hours. And she was only 18 months old. Can you imagine? She had to have 15 surgeries, and she lost part of her toe because it was amputated. And remember these scenes when she came out? And then this scene here. This is Haiti. They've had several earthquakes. They've had several issues. And then there was this one young lady. She's wrapped in the gold down here in the corner. 15 years old. Trapped under rubble for 15 days. And finally, just yelling for help, for someone to hear her. And finally, someone walking by heard her, and it all came together and dug her out. Can you imagine that rescue? After being there, no food, no water, hoping that someone would hear your cry for help. And then we have this scene. Remember this scene. I remember I was at work and this came on and thinking, not even thinking terrorism at all. Thinking, man, that guy, he can't see that plane in front, that building in front of him. How is he flying into a building? Never occurred to me that this was a terror attack until, you know, of course, later. And these scenes, all these scenes of how we need help, how man needs help. And we look at this because we watch movies when, you know, people want to be rescued and we're sitting on the edge of our seat, you know, waiting for the hero to arrive. In that scene, our first responders on their way to go help the people who need help in the buildings. So we like a rescue, and we like to be rescued because we have issues, and when things show up, when all the resources line up and everything's in place, we say, praise God, hallelujah. We all want a rescue. And man was created in the image of God. We've been blessed to accomplish many things. We can help animals. We can help each other out. We can build houses, cities, nations. We can create machines like the jaws of life and all the different things that we can do. We can use our imagination and creativity. Look at this scene right here. God allowed us to be able to do that. So man can do things. Look at this, a rescue. And you're sitting there, you're watching that, and you're hoping that he can grab that hand and capture that person before he continues downstream. Look at this, ingenuity. To climb up all those flights, to put a ladder over, to rescue someone from a fire. And you're scared of the fire, but then you're also scared to climb on a ladder. But what you gonna do? What are you gonna do? We can only do what God gives us, what he allows us to. And look at this scene. Man can do a lot of things. He's given us power to think, creativity, but we cannot save another individual. We cannot bring another individual back to life. If you Google pictures from 9/11, there are pictures of people just jumping out of buildings. There was nothing that could be done. No one that could save them. And this just happens to be one of the men that jumped out. So we, being human, we come across these different situations and we see all these different things and we dream. What if we had powers to do stuff? What if we could be that person that could rescue? So man sits and he dreams and he comes up with, and we go to the movies to see it, alternate worlds and universes. Like thanks to DC and Marvel, what man can't accomplish, we've created superheroes for. And there are, you may not realize this, there are over 100 superheroes in 31 categories. Now this is the Marvel Universe. This is the DC Universe. I have to give everyone equal billing because I don't want people yelling at me. And if Michael was here, he said, Mommy, you left out anime. You don't have Goku, because he can beat everybody. And I was like, who is Goku? I mean, but now I know what a Kamiyamiya is. So. But there's 31 categories. Look at this. Of what superheroes can do. from being an acrobat. And I mean, this is serious business. When people are talking about the DC and the Marvel and this superhero and all these superheroes, like, what'd you have, Batman versus Superman? And everyone's like, oh, my goodness, I got to go see that. What's going to happen? Well, is DC going to allow both of them to die? I don't think so. It's both of their money makers. So that's not going to happen. So these are just some of the things that, you know, when you categorize them, what they can do. Now, do you recognize any of these? You recognize them? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Yes, the Hulk. We have people here that like Hulk. They have to give equal opportunity and have a woman. Okay, there he is. I think that's, I don't know. it's Flash, okay. Okay, the Green Lantern. Now we're to our top five in this spear. The Green Lantern. Okay. Thor. Spider-Man number 3. Mm-hmm. And y'all can debate this. I really, because trust me, I know I can get beat up over the Batman and the Supermans of the world of who is the best. But it's not really about that. It isn't about that. See, Superman was created by two Jewish young men who were in high school. And I read somewhere once that it was based on the type of the Messiah. They gave him all the powers they could because he was based on the Messiah. But then they realized, well, we can't really sell any comic books or anything. He got to have a flaw, right? So then they introduced Kryptonite, of course. So his motto is he's faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He's able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. It's Superman. And he has his famous arsenal of powers, which include flight, super strength, vulnerability to, he has invulnerability to non-magical attacks. Now notice I said non-magical attacks. Super speed, vision, power, X-rays. You remember he can see through walls, he can see through buildings. He has infrared, microscopic vision, super hearing, super intelligence, super breath. All these things are Superman. Superman may not be able to shoot fire, but with his X-ray vision, he can just do like this, right? And take care of whatever he needs to take care of. He may not be able to shape shift or have magical powers, but he can reverse time. He can fly backwards. Remember when he saves Lois Lane by flying backwards? So, but still, Superman has his limitations. Superman has his kryptonite. And just as it says every Superman has his kryptonite, we have our kryptonite. Every one of us sitting here has something that we need to get over, some obstacle, some challenge, something that we are battling, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. We all have our kryptonite. But the good thing of all of this is this, that God knew what we would need, that we would need rescue. There's an oversized SOS that is broadcasting through the universe from here to his ear, to his heart, because he knew that we would need it. He says in Isaiah, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from there is no, let me start over. I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no other God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me. So let's go back from the beginning of this series. At the very beginning of October, we talked about the need for good news, how we needed good news, what the good news was, and how it helps us. And then we went into how God is bigger. Remember that one? When we saw the universe. I mean, we can't even wrap our minds around the fact that God has been here forever. These universes, we don't know how old they are. He's been here forever. We haven't. He's created things. He's done things. And we've only seen a small part of what he's done because our telescopes only go so far. So we keep saying, oh, look, the universe is expanding. No, we're just discovering stuff that he's already done, stuff that's already been in place. And there are still other things that we haven't seen, things that we don't even know. So God is bigger, bigger than anything that we can think or imagine. He is like, as you said, like this, as the baby just did, like this. He is. And then from there, looking at the universe and looking at Earth, remember how small Earth was? It looked so large, but then as we kept going out and looking at all of the other planets, it just started to shrink and shrink and shrink. But when you look at Earth and you compare it to all the other planets, you see that it was especially prepared for us. You look at the colors. You see the blue and you see the green and you see the white. You see all the typography that it was made for us. And in making that for us and putting us there in that place and giving us choices, God knew my people, my children that I created are going to need to be rescued. Rescued from themselves. Rescued from their decisions. Then from there, we talked about the fall. How we did make those choices. Our forefathers made those choices. When they had the opportunity to choose this tree and that tree, they chose this one and went off into a totally different direction. A direction that has brought us here to a place where we needed deliverance. A place where we fortunately, and I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but you know how just earlier this year, every weekend, we would hear about shootings. We would hear about this one was killed, this one was shot, and all the different things going on in our neck of the woods. Not even talking about everything else around the world. But sin entered and everything changed. Everything changed. And God knew, I'm going to need to send someone for them to rescue them. When sin entered, now we got a world full of envy, hate, strife, greed, disasters, gluttony, addictions. We know people who have addictions. Some of us may even have addictions to all kinds of things. Lust, murder, adultery, pornography, fires, hails, windstorms, all of these things, blizzards, neglect, desertion, depression. As even if you're on the prayer line, someone was praying, pray for my daughter. She has deep depression. These things are real. People have been abandoned. Even when we went to the high school, the first group of children that the assistant principal mentioned were the homeless. When I talked to Maya Angelou, the elementary school over here, the first group of children they mentioned that needed help were the homeless. They're homeless, she said, they're living in shelters, they're living in hotels, and they're living from couch to couch. These are our young people that are coming up. These people, as well as us, they need to know that there is a Savior. There is an anointed one. There is a rescuer. someone that can deliver them from what is going on, all the evils and deceits on all levels. As we're going into this election season and people are putting, you know, posting on Facebook their feelings about this and feelings about that. And basically, in some cases, like, I'm just voting for the lesser of two evils. And then there was something I saw recently, and it said, I wrote it down. It said, if you tried the donkey, you tried the elephant, and that didn't work for you, try the lamb. Because at the end of the day, that's what we got. That's all we have is the lamb. So as we read these words, the words that God preserved for us, because he knew we would need it. 1,500 years, 40 writers, and it all says the same thing. The word of God says the same thing. Talking from Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah. And remember when Noah, his time, everything was destroyed except for Noah and his family, right? What get off the ark with them? Sin. Even when everyone was wiped out, sin is still there among them. And if you read his story, you read what happened there with them. He sent messengers. God sent messengers, messages. He sent judges. He sent kings, psalmists, prophets. We got David, Micah, Haggai, Samuel, Hosea, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Zechariah, Daniel, to let the people know that a change was going to come, that a change needed to come, that a hero, a rescuer, an anointed one was going to come and rock their world. He would change everything. Now, you may say, well, you know, you got this thing, some of Jesus, our superhero, that's a little dramatic, and maybe it's kind of cute and, you know, a little funny, but this is it. There is no other hero. When we look at the superheroes out of imagination, remember, it's out of imagination. It's something someone dreamed up. We're talking about mortal versus immortal. We're talking about imagination versus reality. This is our superhero. He is the only one that can save us. So as we go through this process of talking about the gospel from the beginning of good news, how big God is, the fall, deliverance and salvation. We're at this point where Jesus is the answer to everything that we've just heard about. He's the only answer to everything we heard about. And see, God, knowing that we were going to need him, he put this plan in place from the foundation of the world. Between 740 and 680 BC, because remember God chose a special people he was working with, Israel and Judah. And in 2 Kings 17, 7 through 23, we're going to read what Israel did. Now, just like Adam and Eve, they had choices. They had choices. Just like we, every day we get up, we have choices. And when you look at Israel, God gave them choices. Choices of choosing life or death, blessings or cursing. And they had everything. God said, I will make you an example for all the other nations so they can see how good I am, that I am glorified. Everything's taken care of. But guess what? We read here in 2 Kings what happened. All this took place, and when we talk about all this that took place, or all the things that are about to happen to Israel, because they were going into captivity. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them out of Egypt from under the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. 2 Kings 17, 7 through 23. Verse 9. The Israelites secretly did things against the Lord their God that were not right. It said they did secretly. Did you think he didn't know? I mean, it's written right here that they secretly did things. So somebody knew. From watchtower to fortified city, they built themselves high places in all their towns. They set up sacred stones and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. These sacred stones and Asherah poles were to worship other gods. And there are various things they did in their worship that God was not pleased with. At every high place, they burned incense as the nations whom the Lord had driven out before them had done. They did wicked things that aroused the Lord's anger. They worshiped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." Now we can sit here and we say, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? He said, don't do it. But guess what? They would not listen. They did not listen. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and seers. He said, turn from your evil ways. Observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey, that I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets. But they would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their ancestors, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God and made for themselves two idols cast in the shape of calves and an Asherah pole. They bowed down to all the starry host and they worshiped Baal. They sacrificed their sons and daughters in the fire. They practiced divination and sought omens and sold themselves to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. Arousing his anger. You see, every day we have decisions to make, just like Israel, just like Judah. Every day we are courted. We get up and we have to decide, am I going to go right or am I going to go left? So God inspired Isaiah to write the following, to let the people know. And not just Israel and Judah. If you read through those major prophets and some of the minor prophets, you will see he's talking to Israel and Judah, but he also says, and the other nations. So all of us are included in this, everyone. And he says in this scripture that an anointed one would come, to remind us that despite our current situation, despite their current situation, an anointed one would come. And as it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. As it says, and as we have read throughout this series, talking about the gospel, talking about the good news. So later, as we know, Israel was conquered. Israel was scattered throughout the world. And no one knows for certain where they are. There are lots of theories of who's who and where they may be. And then later, Judah was taken into captivity. So 700 years after Isaiah wrote these words, the rescuer shows up. Our rescuer shows up. The one that will rescue us from all things evil, from all things that are negative, from all our baggage, from all our hurts that we are carrying. He shows up. And he shows up in a tremendous way. He shows up through his birth of a virgin. No one else can claim that. People can try. No one else can claim that. God wanted us to know that the rescuer is here. Not only did he come through a virgin, he had the angels singing glory to God. So the shepherds were here so people could hear and know that this thing has happened. He was born in Bethlehem, born of the house of Judah, just as God told Isaiah to write, from the line of David, the Son of God, the rescuer, the hero, the anointed one. Jesus came. And as we look back on deliverance and all what that means for each of us, Jesus coming, Jesus being here, Jesus being the one who will save us from ourselves, save us from all the other things that are going on, and we can list them. We can list. And there are some things that we continue to hold on to, that we continue to carry, that we keep to ourselves. We don't want other people to know. But just as Israel was doing things secretly, God knows. So man comes up with his heroes, his superheroes. But let me show you something about our superhero. Let's see. Oh, there it is. Our hero, the Son of God. And remember when I was showing you the 31 categories that man's superheroes fall into? Look at this. There's at least 60, almost double what man can come up with, attributes of our superhero. All the different things that he can do, all the different things that he does. Oh, I guess I got to keep clicking. Because there are three lists. Remember, there was just one list. When we talk about what man can do, there was just this one little list of 31 things. Look at all of this. This is what our superhero is about. Look at that. Courage, friendship, responsibility, contentment. That's our God. So let's go back to our scripture. When he says, he has grown up in Nazareth. He's miraculously born. He's baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. He goes into the wilderness to be strengthened, where he's also tempted and tried, and then he heads home. Before he gets there, words of power and signs and miracles are already attached to his name. Already attached to his name. They're already starting to hear about this man, this savior, this rescuer. And they're asking themselves, could he be the Messiah? No, maybe, I don't know. But then he goes to his hometown, and this is what he does. When he goes to Nazareth, he goes into the synagogue, and he stands up and he reads. He reads that same prophecy that God had Isaiah to write. He unrolls it and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." He's very clear. He didn't stutter. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners." All those who need deliverance from whatever it is that's binding you, whatever it is that's causing you angst, whatever it is that is your sticking point. I'm here to give you freedom from that. and recovery of the sight of the blind, and to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's what he came to do. That's what our hero came to do. And he took the scroll, he rolled it up, he sits down, and everyone's wondering, well, what is he talking about? What's going on? People are, you know, they're asking him questions, and they want him to show signs, and they want him to do all this stuff. But he's saying, no. No. I'm here for all the people. Not just these people. He's here for all the people. He was anointed for you and me. He was anointed for those who came before us. He was anointed for those folks to set us all free. You see, when he came to preach the gospel to the poor, God knew that sin impoverishes us. And the Messiah will bring good news to us who are poor in spirit, us who are beat up and beat down. I have a friend who has a book coming out, and I may have mentioned this to a few people, Keisha. And she writes about the things that went on in her life growing up, and even when she went off to college, the things she got mixed up in. Things that she's not proud of, but it happened. And there are people here, things have happened. There are other people out there, things have happened. But God came to set you free from that. And in her book, she talks about how God saved her and set her free from this baggage that she was carrying around. Shame, guilt, can't sleep at night. Have rituals she has to go through at night to go to bed. All these different things that she had to struggle through. How God came and delivered her from that. To heal the brokenhearted. We have brokenhearted. We know brokenhearted. Just as on the prayer line, someone's praying for their daughter because she's depressed. She's brokenhearted. He's here to heal the brokenhearted. And to proclaim liberty to the captives. Sin makes people captive and enslaves us. And there are things, just like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Things that I don't want to do, I do. And he came to save us from that, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty all those who were oppressed. Now, I can read this, and you can go home and look in your Bibles and all this, but this right here is big. There's no one else, no man, there's no other God, there's no one else that we can go to that will do these things that he has listed right here. There's no one else we can pray to, no one else that can change our situation. There's nothing else that can be done. Only Jesus. And we can call out to him. We pray to him. He hears us. Even things, whether it's secret or whether it's in the open. Because sometimes we are in this space. I'm going to try and show it to you. My presence is there. In our own personal hell. He's stuck. And sometimes we are in that same place. Spiritually stuck. Physically stuck. Financially stuck. Mentally, emotionally stuck. But the thing is, God knew it was going to happen. God knew that we would need rescue. God knew that we would need an anointed one. God knew that we would need a savior and a redeemer. God knew that we would need an elder brother who would stand there and intercede for us for the last 2,000 years. God knew what we would need, and he sent Jesus. That is our superhero. One of my prayers when I was thinking about this message is I want everyone, you may go to the movie. I mean, you got Doctor Strange that's out now. And, of course, there's going to be more Marvel and DC comic things coming out. Matter of fact, who is it? I think it's the Marvel comics. They're fighting against each other. So, you know, there's a sequel to that because they're ready to go war against each other. But when you see that, anytime you see that, I want you to remember this, that regardless to, and yes, it's entertaining, and yes, it's fun, and we can cheer on Superman, and we can cheer on Iron Man, and we can take sides and all that stuff, but at the end of the day, there is nothing that they can do for you. You know who the real superhero is. You are connected to who the real superhero is. You can call on him. You can pray. He will answer you. He will intercede for you. So when you see Superman say, yeah, that's all cool, but I know the real. I can see Bat, yeah, that's cool. I can see Iron Man, yeah, that's funny, that's entertaining. Watch it on TV. But in here, I know the real superhero. And I saw this image, and it reminded me of something. Something that we hope for, something that we look forward to. But not only that, look, he's coming with others. See, superheroes, man superheroes, they grab the glory for themselves. They're not trying to give you any power. They may save a building from falling on you, quote unquote. But can they give you any power? Can they give you any strength? Can they give you what you need to survive? All they can do is just kind of show up as the writer writes it in and fly off into the sunset or wherever they may go. But our superhero's different. He includes all of us, all of us. And as we look at our other brothers and sisters like Paul and Peter and the disciples, he gave them power. The Holy Spirit allowed them to do things. They were able to heal the sick. They were able to raise the dead. They were able to do stuff. And we could do stuff. Now, granted, I said, you know, and you all may thought about, well, if I could have a superpower, what would it be? I want to be invisible. Or maybe I want to be able to read minds. Or maybe I want to heal people. All these different things. God can do that. But it takes a humble, humble, humble heart. So I know why I don't have that gift yet. I guess it works. Because if God enabled me to be able to heal people, the Holy Spirit gave me the power to do that, that would take a lot of humility, an awful lot of humility. Because you don't want to start thinking it's you. Amen. I did it. Then we got a whole nother issue, a whole nother discussion that we got to go down. But in saying that, the opportunity is there. It's there. It's up to us if we want to take up that mantle. It's up to us to pray and be humble before our God, realizing his sovereignty and walking humbly with him. And maybe he will bless some of us here with that gift. Maybe he will bless some of us here with being able to raise the dead. Maybe he will. But the thing is, he shares. He shares. He opens the door and he shares. He doesn't keep it for himself. So as we conclude, say, who do you say I am? You can say he is our superhero. And that's a big thing. A lot of shoes to fill. But he says to us to remember that Jesus shares his gifts with us. Jesus says he is, and he says he's a lot of things. He says in John, and personalizes. He said, I am the bread of life, a sustainer. You can say, he is my bread of life. He is Lisa's bread of life. He is your bread of life. He is the living water. He is the light of the world. He is the door. He opens the door. And he says, and this is the thing that I got out of that scripture. He says, I know you. I know you. Meaning he knows the secret things. He knows the strong things, the weak things, the good things, the bad things. I know you. And I still open the door. He is the good shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. He takes care of his flocks. He takes care of us. There are things that we just cannot do. We have to sit and wait and pray. We can't do it. But he's the good shepherd. He makes sure it gets done, whatever it is that we need to get done. He is the way, the truth, and life. There's no one else like him. No one. So as we come around to this, the end of this series here, we're talking about the gospel message, how we got started, why we needed a savior, why we needed rescuing, about deliverance and salvation. I'm reminded of what Peter said in Acts 2. After he had given this message to, they had received the Holy Spirit, and those who are baptized, you receive the Holy Spirit. After the people received the Holy Spirit in the upper room, they came down and they preached the gospel message. And after he preached the gospel message, he talked from the beginning all the way up to their time right now, right there, standing there while Peter was preaching. And he ended with, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And the people heard this. The people here heard this. If you were here these last 5 weeks, you heard this message about how good God is, how big he is, and what he can do. And the people were cut to the heart. And some of you were. Some of you were cut to the heart. Some of you, when you saw the video of the creation and all of that was going on, you got a glimpse of how big God is. And they said, what shall we do? What shall we do? We know God is big. We know he's our rescuer. We know he's our Messiah, our elder brother. What shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So as we come to the conclusion, I encourage you, if you're baptized, you already received the Holy Spirit, just ask God to fire it up. Fire it up. Set you on fire. John Wesley once wrote, he wanted to be a man set on fire because he knew people from around would come to see him burn. They will see this blaze and they will come to see what is on fire. They will be drawn to the fire. Think about your baptism. When you made that decision that I'm going to follow Jesus. Jesus has what I need. Jesus is my one and only. He's the only one I can depend on. He's my friend. Think on those things. For those of you who have not made a decision yet, and you're trying to decide, think about getting baptized. Think about accepting Jesus as your Savior. He died for all of us. It's up to us, because the decision is ours. God calls. He calls us to Him. But just like they had the two trees at the beginning, we still have those two trees now. We still have that decision to make, whether we will go the way of life or the way of death. Only Jesus can rescue us from this way, the way of death, and bring us over here to the way of life. So think on those things. And the next time that you go out to the movies, whatever's coming out at Christmas or whatever's going on, just remember, and I hope you do, remember who our superhero is. Ultimately, who our superhero is. There's no one like him. There's no other. And there's nothing man can do about that. Amen. Lord God Almighty, thank you, Father God, for this opportunity to just thank you for what you have done for us. You knew from the foundation of our world that we were going to need a savior, a redeemer, a rescuer, a hero to rescue us from the mess that we would make. You knew what we were going to be like and what we are capable of. And Lord, we can look at our history, the wars that have gone on, the Holocaust, slavery, all the different things that man has done, Father God. And you knew that we would need help, that there was a big SOS on our backs. So Lord God, at this time, help us to grab hold to you. Grab hold to who you are and what you have done and what you have put in place for each of us. Help us to be fired up and renewed and rejuvenated in the joy of our salvation. Help us if we have not made that decision. Lord, may your spirit work with us and help us and lead us and guide us and order our steps to understanding so that we can make that decision to come to you, our Savior, Redeemer, and Elder Brother. Lord God, thank you for this opportunity. Because, Father, there are others who have not had this opportunity to come into your dwelling place, to come into the Holy of Holies and to talk to you. There are people that don't even know that they can come. Don't even know about prayer. Don't even know what to ask or who to ask of. And Lord, you have blessed us at this time to be able to know. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, may we grab hold to that, eternalize that, and live it. Live it for you, lifting you up and glorifying you in everything we say, everything we do. And everything that we are in our whole entire being. Father, we thank you for everything you've done in our past. And we look so forward to what you're going to do in our future. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.